Well, it's always important to get our facts straight, I guess. And one thing I like to remind people is that Canada actually has never been a sanctuary against war, right? Against war criminal, against war crimes. It's been a sanctuary plenty of times. Against war resistors, I don't think it's been a sanctuary ever. People have always had to come to Canada and simply qualify for immigration status here. There's never been such a thing as providing people refugee status. So it's really important for us to understand that. It's kind of groundbreaking, actually, what's going on now, because there's really this sort of attempt to kind of challenge that. So in a way, we're far beyond where we were in the late 1960s and early 70s. But I'm not going to actually talk about that. What I think is really important, just as Cheryl Ann's prayer reminds us, that it's extremely important to be making connections, that we have to always see a struggle like the war resistors within something of a larger context without losing sight of the struggle itself. And when I look at the war resistors here in North America, I also think of the war resistors in Israel, the refuseniks, they call them there. Here we call them war resistors. And the media likes to degrade both groups by calling them Dodgers, you know, as if they're trying to, you know, avoid something. I don't see Corey Glass and Joshua Key dodging anything, actually. They seem to be taking hits more than anything else. If they're dodging, they're doing a bad job of it. What refuseniks and war resistors have in common is actually that they are doing what we are supposed to do. We all have an obligation under international law, under the Geneva Accord. We have an obligation after the horrors of World War II, right, to refuse to serve in any kind of military activity which we deem to be immoral. It's not that we have the right to choose that. The law says we have an obligation to not do it. We have an obligation to resist. And a state like Canada has an obligation under that same international law to give refuge, to give safe haven to people who refuse to participate in war crimes. But what they are doing is, in addition to a courageous act, is that they are really striking at the heart of the power of the state and of imperialism. They are doing the one thing which every regime in history has desperately feared, and that is for its military to, as they used to call it, stay in the barracks. In this case, for members of the military to actually say they will not go to war. They refuse. When the state cannot command its citizens to go to war and fight for it, and it can't buy enough mercenaries from other countries, it cannot conduct imperial war. So the act of people refusing to participate in war, whether it's here, whether it's in the United States, whether it's in Israel, wherever it is on the planet, is an extremely important political and humanitarian act. And I think by being here today, we're not only recognizing that, we're giving honor to it, and we're trying to encourage others to join us. You know, I can't help but think, because of the work that I do around the Israeli-Palestinian struggle, what incredible hypocrites are those who always like to drag out something like the Holocaust and Auschwitz when it's convenient for them to try to muzzle debate or muzzle criticism against Israeli policy, as if you're criticizing Israeli policy, that makes you somehow anti-Semitic. And the two, of course, we well know don't matter. But that's not the point here. What's hypocritical is that Auschwitz and the Holocaust would not have happened if the soldiers who conducted it refused to conduct it. And that's what the Nuremberg Principles were all about. That's what the Geneva Conventions following World War II were all about. And so one would think that those who want to get us to pay attention to horrible things like the horrific things like the Holocaust would be standing at the forefront in defense of people like Corey Glass and Robin Long and Joshua and the others, that they would be the first to say that it is our duty, it is our obligation to refuse to participate in crimes which soldiers believe, which any individual soldier believes, to be immoral. Because if that had happened back between 1932 and 1945, there would not be the word Holocaust, the word Auschwitz would not mean anything to us, and a whole lot of other terms and language would not mean anything to us. But we are not so fortunate. We are not fortunate because soldiers in those days who did refuse were shot, and they were killed, and they were imprisoned. And it's exactly what the United States is trying to do today to people who have to come here to try to refuse to participate in a war. So the struggle that we're forming this circle around is a very, very essential struggle. It's key to the whole notion of imperial power. If there is no one going to war, if there are no soldiers for war, there is no war. And secondly, it is key because it reminds us of our obligation as individuals, right, to not lie down and take the commands of our government and take the commands of our military. We do not have a choice in that matter. We have an obligation in that matter. And Canada has an obligation as a state, right, to provide safe haven for that. To do anything else is criminal. Indeed, to do anything else is a war crime. Thank you. Thank you.